me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Time now for Abandoned Manitoba. Local historian Gordon Goldsborough joins me now. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Marjorie.
Now, you left us with a clue. Remind us again, what was that clue from last week?
I said that when we talk about the history of agriculture in Manitoba, we often refer to quarter sections of land, that is, parcels of 160 acres. We don't usually think in terms of vast tracts of land that were more typical of places like Alberta. Yet, in the 1880s, there was one such huge ranch here in Manitoba. So this week, we're going to talk about an abandoned stone house from the former Elphinstone Ranch.
Elphinstone. There's a town in western Manitoba by that name, right?
Right. And it has the same roots as the ranch. They were both named for a fellow named William Buller Fullerton Elphinstone. He was a Scottish nobleman born back in 1828. He served in the British government in the 1870s and 1880s, and he was quite interested in the empire's various colonies around the world, including Canada, as investment opportunities.
He bought land here in Manitoba?
He did indeed. He bought large tracts of land here in Manitoba, 13 square miles. That's about 8,000 acres along the Little Saskatchewan River, north of Newdale, and another 4 square miles south of Verdun. Now, at that time, both areas were actually still part of the Northwest Territories. They wouldn't join Manitoba until 1881. So this is now Western Manitoba. Back in 1879, Lord Elphinstone came to inspect his property. Not surprising, you know, he bought this land. He wanted to see what he got. So he traveled by train and steamboat to Upper Fort Garry. And there he purchased provisions and he transferred to a horse-drawn buggy that he used to travel across the prairie to western Manitoba. Of course, there weren't roads or anything like that at that time. He was especially taken with his land near present-day Newdale. He was so bullish on the economic prospects of western Canada that after he returned to Scotland, he described his visit at length in a newspaper article that was published in early 1880. And he met a number of Scottish immigrants during his visit to western Manitoba. I think that convinced him that he really wanted to bring more settlers to the region.
Where does the ranch that you mentioned in the hint, where does it come into the story?
Well, during his 1879 visit to western Manitoba, Elphinstone established a cattle ranch on his land near Newdale, while his son worked the ranch at Verdun. So he arranged the construction of several buildings. Half of them were made out of local stone, so they're quite a substantial buildings, including an 8-room ranch house, as well as a barn with a full basement, with room in that basement for 50 head of cattle. It was in a beautiful spot overlooking the valley of the Little Saskatchewan River. Now, Elphinstone played an active role in the operation of his ranch. He wasn't just one of these absentee landowners. He actually spent time, for example, in the fall of 1880, the local newspapers reported that he had purchased some cattle to replace ones that he had lost during the winter of 1879, and he was going to attend personally to mowing and stacking of hay to feed them. But I suspect that most of the day-to-day work on the ranch was done by numerous young men that he employed there, and these were just some of the many people that Elphinstone enticed to come to Western Canada.
So, Gordon, how did he end up bringing settlers here?
Well, in addition to being a government person, he was also a businessman. He was, for example, the founding director of something called the Canada Northwest Land Company. In 1882, that company bought 5 million acres of land all over Western Canada from the Canadian Pacific Railway. He was also involved with the CPR as well. And this land company intended to resell the land to farmers, or in the cases of towns, because there were some towns in that area too, to sell business and residential lots all along the railway main line.
What happened to Lord Elphinstone?
It appears that he visited the Newdale Ranch whenever he came to Canada. And so the last time I could find a reference to him being here was in 1891. 2 years later, in 1893, he died at the age of 64. And I guess his heirs were just not interested in cattle ranching, because the next year, 1894, I find references to the livestock from the ranch being sold at auction. And then a few years later, 1901, the land of this vast ranch was sold to a group of American real estate speculators who intended to bring American farmers to here to Canada to settle on it. I suspect, however, that the demand did not meet the expectations of those realtors, because in 1910, fully 9 years later, they had still not sold quite a bit of the land. In fact, the land where the buildings had been at the main ranch site were still available, and they were offered for sale at essentially the same price that the realtors had paid for them nearly a decade earlier.
What's the condition of the site today?
Well, like the rest of Western Manitoba, the vast rangeland of this once huge ranch was subdivided into square mile plots for the purposes of growing such crops as wheat, canola, barley, flax, and you name it. Much of the soil in that region is actually called Newdale clay loam. And in fact, just as a side note, in 2010, that soil was designated as Manitoba's provincial soil. Newdale soil is quite typical of former grassland areas. Of course, this is an area of grasslands, or once was grasslands. And Newdale was known for its dark brown topsoil down to a depth of about 12 inches and its general soil fertility, which of course makes for good crops.
I never knew that Manitoba had a provincial soil.
We do.
And the buildings of the Elphinstone Ranch, what happened to them?
Well, at least one of the ranch buildings is still there on the edge of a farmer's field, about a quarter mile from the nearest road. My friend Duncan Waddell, who farmed near Newdale before retirement, he shared a photo that he had taken of the building in the early 1970s. At that time, its wooden roof had started to collapse, but the stone walls were mostly intact. I had a chance to visit the site a few weeks ago, and I found that only a wooden bay window in its east wall was still there, surrounded by stones from the fallen building. In other words, the walls were basically all crumbled. There was, in addition to the house, a large depression nearby that I think was probably the remains of the basement for that livestock barn, the one that could hold 50 head of cattle in its basement. The view from the ranch house of the river valley below, well, it wasn't quite as good as it was in Elphinstone's day, because there's been numerous trees that have grown up in the past century.
Besides the town of Elphinstone, are there any other reminders of Elphinstone's influence here in Manitoba?
There are several of them, in fact. At the former ranch site itself, there is a commemorative sign that was erected in 2014 by a resident from the town of Elphinstone, who was interested in seeing that the memory of this former ranch is preserved. Now, it states that the ranch was established in October 1888. I suspect that this isn't quite accurate, because I found numerous references to the ranch in historical newspapers from at least 8 years earlier. Elsewhere in Manitoba, though, we have the town of Carberry, which is named for a place called Carberry Tower. That's a historic house and estate in Scotland where the Elphinstone family lived. And, you know, I have to think there's one additional influence, I think, of Lord Elphinstone here. It's a very human dimension to his legacy. And those are the descendants of all of the people who came here due to his immigration efforts, including, of course, the young men who operated his ranches and, of course, their offspring.
Interesting. Gordon, thank you so much for this. So what's on tap for next week?
Well, I recently had an opportunity to visit an abandoned site in the North Interlake, and I found several people there. But all I got from them were cold, stony stares.
Can't wait to hear more. Thanks again, Gordon.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.